What's up, NBA fans? Welcome to the NBA Highlight Series presented by OGGBasketball.com. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at OGGBasketball. Also, hit that subscribe button. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, two of my favorite NBA heads, Corey Waldron and Harris Richard. What's up, guys?
Who's going first, me or Harris?
Corey, you always go first. This should be part of the actual podcast. I want this to be kept on. We always know the order. I've taken a backseat to Corey in this whole drill. Corey is an OTG executive producer of this series. he should go second, especially on the Lakers. I will take a backseat. Corey, you could go and talk a little bit.
You know what it is, Harris? You know, you've been on this podcast longer than me, so normally we let the guests go first, and I'm just, you know, I'm a little bit thrown off a little bit. We have a legend on here, but fair enough.
I appreciate that, but I'm excited to talk about, you know, we talked about, I was on here with the Knicks last time in New York. I'm excited to talk about one of the premier franchises in the NBA that's trying to return to prominence here.
It's showtime. Yeah. It's showtime right now.
And they're cheating, too. They're cheating. They're cheating, Corey.
Let's keep that. I don't want to talk about the cheating. Come on, let's keep that off this pod, the cheating.
No, come on. We obviously have to bring that up, right, Nick?
Yeah, we'll bring it up a little bit later. Okay. But Lakers at number 23, you know, we're talking about Los Angeles. There has been a ton of hype for a bad team. You know, like Harris said, this is one of the all-time NBA franchises. Yep. But the draft pick they made this year, Lonzo Ball, we know the hype that he brings and what his father brings. But we'll talk about that in a little bit. Let's talk Lakers from last season. You know, first year, no Kobe Bryant, disappointing year, probably the worst defensive team in the league. What were your thoughts on Lakers last year?
My thoughts on Lakers last year were we saw D'Angelo Russell hit a couple big-time shots. He had a game winner the day after his grandmother passed away or the day of his grandmother's passing. We saw Julius Randle do a couple things better than the year before. We saw Jordan Clarkson take a step forward. We saw Lou Williams before he got traded ball out.
Yeah.
We saw Brandon Ingram look at times like he could be something, but he still struggled decently. Sorry, Nick. We saw Larry Nance Jr. kill Brooke Lopez.
They're teammates now.
That's true. They are. He'll have to – every day he'll have to look at Larry Nance Jr. and remember that he was killed one day in Brooklyn. Yeah.
Oh, my God. That was horrific. For me, they started 10-10. Randle was one of the, you know, surprises early in the season. He was featured on that, you know, the article that I was writing about the Hustlers. And I was surprised. I saw, you know, Russell look like he was playing decent basketball. And Luke Walton had them. They actually beat the Warriors by 20, I think, in the first couple of months of the season. This is a team that went south very quickly. Me and Nick talked about this the other day. It was Lou Williams. Once he departed, he was averaging close to 20 a game. And that offense really hurt them. Like you said, they couldn't guard a parked car for most of the season. and then they won 10 games in the first 20. And then they went 16-46 for the rest of the year. So it was, you know, some young guys, like Corey said, some young guys impressed. And I think Luke Walton will have, you know, his hands full on who to distribute the minutes of. And Nick mentioned Lonzo Ball. But, you know, Magic Johnson's got to keep his hands clean. And maybe the Lakers will take a step forward. 23. Yeah, I don't want to talk about the ranking yet. You know, I'll do that a little later. But
yeah, we'll talk about ranking a little bit. But I think you made a great point. I think this team started 10-10, like you mentioned. They also finished the season like 5-1. So in between all of that, you know, the start and the end of the season, they were just terrible. After they lost Lou Williams, they were just losing a ton of games. You know, they did have some injuries, but it was just like a lot of young guys not playing defense. And it wasn't necessarily a bad thing because they got lucky in the lottery and they ended up keeping their pick. If they didn't get a top three pick, they had to give it to the Sixers. So that was a big deal too.
Yeah, definitely.
But first year without Kobe Bryant and the Lakers, what were your thoughts on that? You know, what did it feel like watching the Lakers without Kobe? Obviously, he was there for so long and he's a legend.
I mean, I miss Kobe. I mean, Kobe's the reason I love basketball. I mean,
I don't mean to interrupt you, but they haven't won more than 30 games. They didn't win more than 27 games in his last three seasons. So do you think Kobe Bryant, the legend, was hurting this basketball team towards the end of his career? Is that fair to say or no?
It's definitely fair to say because Kobe Bryant was no longer Kobe Bryant.
Right.
I mean, you think about his final year when he was actually like relevant and good. It's when they had Dwight Howard, they had Steve Nash. And if you remember that season, Kobe carried them into the playoffs before tearing his Achilles against the Warriors. I mean, Kobe was phenomenal that year. I mean, there was a couple of games against the Raptors in particular where he hit like three threes in a row in the fourth quarter to bring him into like closing time. Obviously, he stunted a year of growth for guys like D'Angelo Russell and Jordan Clarkson. And, you know, this is the first time he actually got to see what these rookies could do. And, you know, obviously Russell was moved. And Clarkson's still there. Clarkson's actually one of my favorite Lakers right now. I think the kid's got a lot of potential. It's different not seeing Kobe, but if you're a Lakers fan, this is one of the top three NBA cores currently of young players, I think, in the NBA.
Listen, five titles and one of the all-time great competitors, like the closest competitor we've seen probably to Jordan, and just his desire to win basketball games and this whole Mamba mentality. I like this role that he's kind of taken on now as like mentors to people. And he's like challenging this guy to be first team and that guy to be MVP. I think he like challenged the Greek Freak to be MVP.
Yep.
And he challenged John Wall to be first team all NBA. And I like that. I like that. So I didn't mean to disrespect Kobe by talking about those last three seasons, but I kind of, you know, he like Corey said, he's done a lot for the game of basketball. He's a five-time champion and he's one of the all-time great competitors.
Yeah. Go ahead, Corey.
I was going to say, Father Time is the son of a gun, you know? He comes to everybody, and, you know, yeah. Kobe looked really good, and then once the first injury came in his 30s, it's hard to recover.
Yeah, definitely. As soon as you get up there, you just don't recover the same way. But talking about Lakers, you know, moving on from negative, let's talk positive. Highlight of the Lakers season last year, other than Larry Nance dunking on Brooke Lopez.
Ah, damn it.
don't hurt Lopez and Knicks Nets too much tonight. Just keep it.
Well, Laker. Now he's a Laker. So
now he's a Laker. You're right. So, you know, he got baptized by a Laker. So he is a Laker now. I'm gonna say Brandon Ingram, even though I'm not necessarily a big Brandon Ingram fan. He wasn't all rookie last season. And I think later on in the season, we actually saw Brandon Ingram kind of catch up to the NBA speed. I think early on in the season, you know, his body weight, you know, he's very small for his position of a small forward, 6'9", only 190 pounds. We saw him struggle at times. He didn't shoot overly well. But I think late in the season, we finally saw him kind of get into an NBA rhythm. So I think sky's the limit if this kid can put on some size and some weight. I actually really like Brandon Ingram, and I think he's probably my highlight. You know, D'Angelo Russell would be my highlight. But since he's no longer a Laker, I know I got to go with Ingram.
Yeah, they were trying to clear out all the ball touchers and all the they were clearing out all the guards that wanted touches. They were going to have the ball a lot for Lonzo. But Nick thought I was going to talk about my man Jordan Clarkson. He's one of my favorite, like, under-the-radar role players in the league, and I think he's, like, underutilized in L.A. But I think I'm going to talk about Randall. And I think, like Corey said before, he was a little bit better than he was in year one. And I think now that he has a potential playmaking guard, and I know it's his rookie season, but from what we hear about Alonzo, he makes his teammates better, and maybe he'll help out Julius a little bit. But I think Randall could be like a 17-8 guy this year. I think that's possible.
I think Randall, though, he had three or four triple-doubles last year, and you'd like seeing that from a young guy. I just wanted to add that in.
Yeah, I mean, like, Ingram, Ingram, for me, I expected a little bit more out of his rookie season. He did pick it up towards the end, but I wouldn't say – for me, it wasn't a highlight. And Randall, like, he did have the triple-doubles, but consistency was a problem for him. This kind of – I think for me, it would probably be a guy who highlighted and surprised would be, like, Ivaka Zubac. You know, center coming in second round, coming off the bench, able to, you know, contribute. Not somebody you think's going to contribute. I would say a lot of the young pieces that they had – didn't perform as high as they necessarily wanted. Nick, he was one guy that kind of surprised.
Nick, that name, if that's the name that's surprising, that screams a 26-win season. That it really does.
Well, yeah, it does. You know, yeah. And I mean, like, you got to find highlights in things that you didn't expect. You know what I mean? It's like, out of Julius Randle and Brandon Ingram, they're kind of things that I expected to see from them last year. You know, I didn't expect to see Zubac actually contribute in the NBA.
There's not
rookie season being a second round player.
There's not a ton of highlights when you start 10-10 and then lose 16 out of the next 62 games. There's just not that many. I mean, we could talk about their young core. They got the second pick in the draft, and we'll see where they go from here. But there's just not many positive things to talk about. I actually like Luke Walton, though. I think he's going to be a decent. I think he's going to be a decent head coach in this league. I really do.
Exactly, and I mean he has a young team, so he can kind of grow with them. But disappointments. What do you guys think? You know, you said it, Harris. There's not a ton of highlights for this team. So what would be disappointments, Corey?
Can I say Luol Deng? Yeah, I'm gonna say Luol Deng. You know, they signed him for that awful contract, which, I mean, in hindsight, it didn't seem awful because we were looking at a rebuilding Lakers team who was trying to bring in veterans. You know, Timothy Mozgov, we can say that was an awful contract as well. But they brought in Mozgov and Luol Deng to kind of be the veteran mentorship to kind of bring Russell and Ingram and Randall to the next level. And it, you know, Luol Deng fell out of the starting rotation pretty early in the season. He shot 38% from the field last season. And a guy making $70 million a year, he's kind of locked in the books, and it's going to be hard to move that deal. He was definitely, for me, a big disappointment.
I think Ingram could have been better. I know you talked about it as your highlight. I thought he could have been better. But I just obviously think as a whole, can I say them on the defensive end?
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
I mean, I thought the interior defense obviously was a huge issue. Mozgov only played like 54 games for them. And, you know, other centers. And you talked about the other big guy. Who's the other guy you just spoke about?
Like Zubac.
Zubac only played 38 games too. They had a lot of interior defense issues and, you know, team assists, you know, they had some issues moving the basketball too. I mean, even D'Angelo Russell had the ball a lot, didn't even average 5 assists. This is a group that's going to have to, like you said, come together, play a lot harder. And there's just so many holes that need to be filled.
Yeah. For me, I'm going to agree with Corey, though. I think Luol Deng and the Timothy Mozgov contract were just horrendous.
Yeah, Mozgov contract was really
bad. Like, the point that they signed Mozgov, obviously, he's on the Nets now, and that got them D'Angelo Russell. But the point that they signed him, you know, he was the first deal of free agency, and nobody was really going crazy for him to offer them that money. Obviously, at that time, everybody was like, oh, the cap's exploding. All these guys are getting huge contracts. So it didn't seem even quite as bad. But this year, after watching, you know, the cap dry up a little bit, those contracts are looking horrendous. And it looks like the Lakers will probably have to sit on that Luol Deng deal unless they're willing to give up another asset or another first-round pick.
I didn't even realize that the Nets defensive rating – or not the Nets. Just cut that little part.
He's got – no, you know, he has had so much of that Lopez dunk on his mind that he can't even think clearly.
Yeah, right? I'm shook right now. the Lakers' defensive rating last year was 113, which was the worst in the league. Like, I knew their defense was bad. But, I mean, I didn't realize they were the worst defense in the league technically by rating.
Yeah, no, they were. They were 30 out of 30. That's why I said they were probably the worst defense in the NBA last season. And it was a combination of lack of defensive players and a combination of effort, too.
Oh, sorry, Nick. I didn't mean to cut you up. But you guys know me. I look at a lot of, you know, I look at a lot of the defensive end, rebounding, obviously, guys who are playing hard. Guys who play hard get the benefit of the doubt. I think guys who play every night get the benefit of the doubt. Not many guys were playing the time. I mean, Randall played 74, and I look at this a lot, but Clarkson played 80, was the only guy to play 82 games. But they had a lot of guys miss time.
Yeah, and yeah, they did. Actually, after they went 10-10, I think they dealt with some injuries. I think D'Angelo Russell might have hurt his knee or something like that. So that definitely was an issue. But let's talk about this ranking. Number 23 for the Lakers. What are your thoughts on that?
Too high.
Yes.
Why is this team so high? I don't understand. Like, we were doing the Suns yesterday and then – or the other day, and we spoke on the Lakers being next. And in my head, I was thinking, like, we've already done the Knicks and the Pacers. And, like, is this team better than the Knicks or the Pacers? I'm not sold on it. Like, if the Knicks still have Melo, I don't think this team is much better than the Knicks.
You know who did these rankings? I think it was LeVar Ball who was in charge of making these rankings. He probably would have had the Lakers – he thinks the Lakers are a playoff team now that his son's on the roster.
He has said that. I mean, but let's talk about LeVar for a little bit. You know, like, as crazy as LeVar is, he has helped his son a lot. And he, you know, people are like, oh, he put so much pressure on his son. But now all the pressure's on LeVar. Everybody's talking about LeVar, what LeVar is doing.
Taking pressure off of Lonzo a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, the fact is, like, who was the most talked about player in the draft? Lonzo, even though not everybody thought Lonzo was the best player in the draft, he was the most talked about guy. and he's doing his thing with the big baller brand. You know, we might crack jokes on it, but you have to give him props for what he's doing. And
LaMelo Ball is driving around in a Lamborghini and has his own signature shoe, and he hasn't even graduated high school yet.
And the shoe drops for, I think, like $398. So, I mean, and people buy these shoes, and, like, I mean, you know, it's easy to hate on them, but you still have to give him respect for what he's doing, and he does take pressure off his son, like you said, Harris.
You know, it's funny, you know, my a buddy of mine actually from NBA Twitter, Ray Johnson, was actually, after Kevin Durant tweeted about Melo, like, pulling up in a Lambo or something, and a friend of mine
been saying a lot of crap.
Yeah, he got in a back and forth with Kevin Durant on LaMelo and saying that if a player is getting, you know, his own signature shoe in high school for $395 and he's driving a Lambo, does this really push a player to be great? And I want to open that question to you guys. Do you think a guy like LaMelo, I know this is the Lakers podcast, but, you know, LaMelo is related to, you know, Lonzo.
Well, it has a lot to do with his brother,
too. Right. Does it affect a guy like LaMelo that Lonzo is getting such success and now he's driving around a Lambo? Does this hurt his chances of being a top, you know, pick in the NBA, possibly, or even making it to the NBA?
No.
No, yeah, I'm agreeing. I actually saw that interaction between Ray Johnson and KD. I don't know Ray, but I saw it. I agree with KD in the sense that, you know, like, yeah, he could get those things, but the type of player that you can already tell he is, that he's, like, super cocky and confident, and he loves to play basketball. And only kids who are, like, obsessed with being the best on the court are that type of, like, cockiness. And not saying that's a bad thing, because he can come to the NBA and be a great player. You know, is it a great look for a young kid? Maybe not. I don't know. I'm not the one to judge about that, so I don't really care.
Yeah.
But I think in the long run, LeVar does a good job motivating his kids. Lonzo is going to be a good NBA player no matter if you like LeVar or not, so I think it doesn't really matter.
I don't know how good Lonzo is going to be or not. It seems like he's been headed in the right direction as far as his abilities, but you could get away – in this world, if you're successful or if you're good at what you do, you could get away with a lot. And so it doesn't matter. As long as he's not breaking the law, if he's driving around in a nice car, if he's selling his shoe, I don't know what the laws are going to be in college and stuff. He's got everybody's – all three of the brothers are signed through the UCLA deal.
He'll be in trouble.
Yeah, he'll be in trouble. But
there was a mention of him maybe possibly playing internationally and skipping college. I don't know if that's just a rumor and to build a big baller brand, but who knows?
We don't know. We haven't really seen anything like this before. And in today's world, it doesn't surprise me. If LaMelo Ball is a pro level basketball player, if he's an NBA talent, like you said, he has the swagger and confidence and demeanor, it will not matter. It really won't matter, and teams will go after him, especially if his brother is successful. If Lonzo is successful with the Lakers, that's going to have a big impact on what NBA scouts and teams do with the other two brothers.
Very true.
I agree.
Lonzo is definitely – he's at that position right now where he's going to set the bar for his brothers. He's got a lot – not that he has – I don't want to say he has pressure on his shoulders, because playing in the NBA as a rookie, you obviously have pressure. But he does have an extra – you know, an extra sense or amount of pressure, because – this BBB brand that LaVar Ball has created, you know, if Lonzo struggles, that brand obviously suffers. You know, there's a lot on Lonzo's shoulders right now, being the first player who has his own signature shoe outside of, you know, Nike, Adidas, and Under Armour, and et cetera. You know, this is something that, like you said, Harris, we've never seen something like this in the NBA.
No. And then, listen, there are three of them. He's the first one. And I'll tell you what, I think having Magic around is going to help him a lot. Magic knows how to deal with pressure. He's one of the most successful point guards in the history of the league. Obviously, we know he's had his issues and what he had with his health and some other off the court issues. But Magic Johnson being around is going, and I really think Luke Walton can help him a little bit too. I have confidence in this kid. I like his demeanor. I don't like some of the things he said, but I think that kind of cockiness, and Nick's made a good point, he said this before, can be beneficial to people at this level.
And also, you mentioned this about Magic and the Lakers, is they're infusing Lonzo with confidence. They're like, the keys to the franchise are with you. We believe in you. We're hyping you. So there is pressure on him, but he does have a good supporting cast that are looking to push him forward and be great. And that's not necessarily something, not to take a shot at the Lakers, but it never really felt that way for D'Angelo Russell, because Kobe was still there and things were kind of confusing.
Both were the number two pick.
Yeah, exactly. So But let's get back to the ranking. You guys both mentioned this was a little too high. I probably agree with you. I think this ranking is probably high because a lot of people are biting on the Lonzo hype. Not saying I don't believe he'll be a great player, but I think it's really hard to be a rookie and come in and be a point guard in the Western Conference. You know, you're matching up with Steph Curry, Dame Lillard, Russell Westbrook, Chris Paul. You know, it's not an easy night-to-night basis. And his jump shot did not look consistent in summer league. And in college, you can get away with that. But in the NBA, when you can't shoot a three at the point guard position, it does have an impact.
And I know you're talking – well, Jason Kidd was never like – there was times where he wasn't a great shooter. But because a lot of people have compared him to his vision, like Kidd's vision. You know, Kidd also played at California, played like out west. But my thing is maybe – and I know we'll talk about the additions, but maybe they're also thinking about two – very serviceable offensive players that they added to their roster also.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Lonzo. Obviously, okay. You mentioned he was the number two pick in the draft. The Lakers were able to keep their pick. They got their lottery pick at number two instead of giving it to the Sixers. And there was maybe a hint that maybe they might not go with Lonzo, but we all knew at the end of the day that he was going to be the pick, and the Lakers drafted him, and now he's their point guard in the future, and the hype was with him. What do you expect from him his rookie season?
I gotta be honest, guys. I'm not overly high on Lonzo. I mean, I want to say, like, let me explain myself though, because I don't think he's gonna be a bust. I don't think he's gonna be a bad player. I see a phenomenal playmaker, a high basketball IQ guy, a guy who can get to the hoop decently well. But my biggest issues with Lonzo Ball are the shot. I know Sean Marion had great success in the NBA with a strange shot, an unorthodox shot. His shot worries me. We saw in summer league at times that the shot did not fall. And his size. I don't know how a guy with his size can get to the hoop consistently and can take a beating of an 82-game series with his size and strength. Those are my two big issues. I don't think playmaking-wise it will be an issue, but defensively as well with the size – There's several issues I have with Lonzo, and I'm not sure how it translates to the NBA game yet. And for me, only time and seeing him play at this level will solve those questions for me.
I think in the first year, I think there's a possibility of other guys winning Rookie of the Year, but I think in his first year, it's just going to take a lot of time. I think in the first 20, 25 games, he's going to get his feet wet. Like Nick said, an important part of this, though, is the confidence and the fact that he's given the keys to the offense. I know you mentioned about the defensive end. Most of this team is allergic to defense. He'll fit right in. I think he could develop a little bit with his size and strength. He's a 19-year-old kid. Am I wrong? Is that what he is? He's like 18, 19-year-old kid? 19,
yeah,
20-year-old kid, whatever he is. Yeah. Yeah, he's freshman in college. Freshman in college. So I don't know. I think, like you said, with the playmaking show, you know, they'll bring the up. I think this team wants to play fast. They'll bring it up, you know, up tempo a little bit, which will help him. And like you said, his jump shot needs a little bit of work. But I think with his playmaking ability, he. I don't know. I don't think he. I think it's going to be hard for him, you know, to not exceed expectations. That would be incredible. But to reach expectations and to live up to the hoopla would probably be an all-star by like his second or third season. I don't know if I see that. But I think a lot of it has to do with his relationship with Luke Walton and Magic and his ability to adapt to the style of play, the speed of the game. And I think, like Nick said, the keys to the offense is going to help him. And I think by game 25, we're going to see an impact player.
Well, I think that's right. That's right in the sense that I could see him struggling. He's going to need to adjust the NBA speed, even at a playmaking level. You know, the NBA defenders are quicker. They're going to play better defense than what you saw in college. And I think the shooting is an issue, like Corey mentioned. That's something that's going to be very important for him, especially in the pick and roll. If they're able to sit back on that pick and roll, it's going to make him a lot harder. It's going to be a lot harder for Lonzo to playmake. You know, coming down that guard's going to have a lot of room to roam around. And I think that could be an issue for him. He's going to definitely need to hit that shot consistently. I'm not really worried about the size because I'm not worried about most rookies when they come in. We mentioned it, you know, 19, 20-year-old kid, you're going to put on muscle by the time you hit 22, 23. So I'm okay with the size, but I could see the shooting be an issue. And defensively, Harris mentioned it, he'd fit right in. He doesn't play defense. He's going to have issues with quicker guards. So athletically, he's going to need to put some of that muscle on. But Lonzo wasn't the only pick for the Lakers. They had two more first-round picks. They had Kyle Kuzma at 27 and 30, Josh Hart. And then in the second round, they picked up Thomas Bryant. So Kuzma had a great summer league. Josh Hart, I know that's somebody you like, Harris. Who sticks out to you out of these picks other than Lonzo?
Kyle Kuzma stands out for me. You know, we're talking about a guy who spent 3 years in Utah in college, who went from averaging 3.3 points per game to 10.8 to last year averaging 16.4. So we saw a guy who every year in college, his game got better and better. And we even saw in summer league, him and Lonzo Ball, when Lonzo, you know, I know Lonzo had the groin issue, I believe, at one point. You know, Kuzma looked very well, was very good alongside of Lonzo. So I'm interested to see what they do at the next level. But I think Kuzma, what's his name? Can I please have a – it's Kuzma?
Kyle Kuzma. You're right. You got it.
All right. It's Kuzma. I think he looks – it's a silly name. It's a funny name.
Hey, yeah, listen. His mom could be listening. Relax.
I mean, I love the last name. It's a funny little last name for me. I like him. He's probably my favorite rookie alongside of Lonzo for this Lakers team.
Yeah, Nick, you said it. I like Josh Hart a lot. I think at 30, this was good value. He was, you know, one of the better players in the Big East, led the Nova team to a national title. And when I'm looking at draft picks, sometimes I look at, you know, who this guy played for in college, whether it's Tom Izzo at Michigan State or Krzyzewski at Duke, or Jay Wright has a tremendous reputation now as now a national champion and someone who's worked well with guards. You know, Kyle Lowry played at Villanova, Randy Foy at Villanova, some decent guards that have played in the NBA coming from Villanova. And I think that's decent value. I think he could come off the bench and spill some guys at some minutes. And so I'm high on that pick. I think it's good value at that spot.
Yeah, I mean, I like both guys, actually. You know, Kuzma, he definitely showed up in summer league, and he definitely hit some big shots. I think he was the summer league championship game MVP. Lonzo was summer league MVP. But Josh Hart, like you mentioned, high basketball IQ guy. He's going to bring some toughness and some much-needed defense to this team, like we mentioned. But enough about the draft picks. Let's talk about trades.
Well, can I just say one more thing about Josh Hart?
Yeah.
You know, Josh Hart, yep, too, was another guy who every year in college got a little bit better. And yeah, he was did you just mention he was the Big East Player of the Year last year as well?
Well, yeah, I knew he was one of the top two or three, but
he actually was the Big East. Yeah, he was the Big East Player of the Year his final season for Villanova. So, you know, the Lakers with all those draft picks.
Even though the Big East is not what it used to be, it's still a very admirable, you know, award to win.
Hey, being named the best player of anything, you know what I'm saying? If you're standing up to that point, like you obviously are balling at a certain level.
No, I know. If you're winning the CAA Player of the Year, it's a little different than the Big East. But the Big East is not the ACC anymore. It's not, you know, the Big Ten even maybe. But the Big East is still a decent basketball conference, and Villanova won a national championship out of that conference. And you got to give them credit. And I think it might, you know, end up being a decent little pick.
Yeah, you know, like we mentioned before, you need role players in the NBA. It's something that's very important. He could be a guy that fills that role. But talking trades, obviously the Lakers' big trade this year. They traded Timothy Mozgov, D'Angelo Russell for Brook Lopez in the 27th pick, which turned into Kyle Kuzma. But let's talk Brook Lopez. Let's talk about the addition they made with him. You know, one of the best offensive centers in the league. What are your thoughts on this trade?
I like it. I was obviously – we talked about it on the Nets podcast. It was sad to see Brook Lopez leave Brooklyn. But this is a nice change of scenery for Brook. He's playing with possibly one of the best playmaking point guards he's ever played with. I think in the pick-and-roll situation, and just because, like you just mentioned, Nick, Brook Lopez is a very offensively gifted center, arguably top five, definitely top 10 in the league. Lonzo can do some interesting things with Brook. Last year we saw Brook Lopez develop that three-point shot, which was incredible to see a guy who's never really shot well from deep all of a sudden develop a three-point shot when he's almost near his 30s. You know, with the Lakers pushing that Showtime, you know, the fast-paced offense, I think Brook Lopez could be he's a clear upgrade over Mozgov and Tariq Black. I think he'll fit in very well with what they're trying to do out in Los Angeles.
Is anybody aware of how many rebounds a game Brook Lopez averaged last year?
It's like five or six.
Five or six, yeah.
Yeah, five and a half. I have an issue with that. But I've always and my college roommates, a couple of them were big Nets fans. I used to give them a hard time about Brook Lopez. I never was really that big of a fan of his because I was being told that he was this all-star center and he was this and he was that. But I will give him credit where credit is due. His jump shot has vastly improved. And in today's NBA, that is important because he's got to stretch the floor a little bit. He's not the, you know, the quickest guy in the world. His footwork is not tremendous. He's not, you know, you're not going to confuse him for Karl Anthony Towns. But like you guys were just talking about, his three-pointer, he was attempting 5 a game last year. I don't even think in any season before that he's attempted like more than like 1 a game.
No, before last season, I think he shot probably around like 20 to 30 threes in his career.
In his career, it's
kind of funny in the sense, but Brook has always been a good mid-range shooter, and he's always had that range where he was like pretty close to three-point line. It's like, yo, bro, why don't I not just step back and shoot the three? Kenny Atkinson kind of came, and he was like, Brook, I want you to shoot threes, and they could kind of tell based off his jump shot because it's not like he's got an ugly shot. There was games last year he dropped 7 threes. Like, he can get hot behind the arc. Like Corey mentioned, like you mentioned, Harris, you're not going to confuse him for a rebounding machine or a defensive monster. But offensively, he's one of the toughest defenders in the league just because he can shoot the three ball. Even though he's not necessarily fast, he has good size, and he showed last year and kind of get to the rim a little bit. So, I mean, it'll be nice for the Lakers to have an offensive player like that and somebody who can really space the floor at the center position. It made life a lot easier for some of the not as skilled Nets player last year to get to the rim just because Brook was dragging the center to the 3-point line every game.
Yeah, and he did block, almost like a shot and a half a game.
He can protect the rim. Like,
a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, like let me not say that he's a terrible defensive player. He just can't go out on the perimeter. In terms of protecting the rim, he's 7 feet. He has good size. He can block shots. He played on a pretty bad defensive team in terms of talent last year. This team isn't much better, so don't expect him to change that.
Well,
but
Trevor,
I don't think
Booker on the Nets last year, in 5 less minutes a game, averaged like 3 more defensive rebounds. I think if he's going to play 30, 35 minutes a game, and I don't think he could play 35, they'll probably play a little bit less than that.
He played 30 last year, and it was probably one of his most efficient seasons. So I think it would be smart to keep him around that.
Yeah, keep him around that and try to, you know, pray that he grabs a couple more. And doesn't get violated like he did, like we spoke about earlier in the podcast.
You got to give him props, though, because, like, Brook has been dunked on numerous times, don't get me wrong, but at least he's not afraid to go up and get it, because you see a lot of players in the NBA step away.
Yeah, because everybody's averaging 110 a game, so.
I mean, we also, you know, let's give Brook Lopez a little shine. We also, I mean, Nick, we talked about this on the Nets podcast. You were there. He hit the game winner against the Detroit Pistons. You know, this is a guy who can hit those big time shots as well. I mean, offensively, Brook Lopez is a very gifted center.
Yeah, it'll definitely help
like
the Lakers.
Everybody in New York is just gifted offensively. You know, who's? I mean, we talk about. I hear that with Mel all the time. I've heard it with Brook Lopez all the time. I mean, we need somebody that's gonna, you know, protect the rim and make him remind me of the mid 90s that I watched on MSG the other night.
Well, the one thing for this trade, too, that is important, Brook Lopez is an expiring contract. So we'll talk about the Lakers' hype about next offseason later, but that is an important thing because if they do want to keep him, he's going to probably want a decent amount of money considering the numbers he's put up. So that's something to keep an eye on, and depending on if the Lakers try to go for Paul George, LeBron James, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, he's also missed, like, two full seasons to Brook Lopez.
Knock on wood, Harris. Come on.
No, I know. I'm not. Listen, I don't want. Listen, you know, I don't want anybody to get hurt. He was an all-star in 2013, and in the last 3 seasons, he's played at least 70 games. But that type of body, that type of size, there's always a chance. But I hope that he is healthy and has a great year with the Lakers. I don't have anything against the guy.
Well, I think the thing is keeping his minutes down, like we mentioned, like keeping him around that maybe a touch under 30 or around 30 is good. Don't overplay a guy 7 foot because. You can tell sometimes when he's gassed on the floor because he's just so big. But another big move for the Lakers this offseason, they signed Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, which was a little bit of a surprise because KCP was a restricted free agent. A lot of talk about the Pistons keeping him. We'll talk about the Pistons a little more in another pod. But, you know, that was interesting. This wasn't necessarily one of the places we thought he would land. He ended up signing the big 1-year deal with the Lakers. What are your thoughts on KCP in L.A.?
Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Like, that is one of my top 5 favorite NBA names, first off. But, you know, the kid's young. We're talking about another guy. Think about this Lakers core in general.
I like this guy.
Right. It's a very young team, and they got another young guy who is a streaky. There's no doubt that Caldwell Pope is an extremely streaky player. He played a lot better at home with Detroit than on the road. Hopefully he plays, you know, well on both sides for the Lakers. But this is a one-year rental. You know, if it doesn't work out, you can just let him go.
And what, what do you think Stan Van Gundy? What do you think Stan Van Gundy would say about Kentavious Caldwell-Pope?
He probably say he's athletically gifted, a good lockdown defender. I'm not sure what he would say about him offensively, but I'm sure he'd praise his defense.
I feel like he made him pull his hair out a little bit, but at the same time, shooting a three ball at like a 40% clip, and like, you know, like you mentioned, streaky, but the last 3 years, he's been relatively consistent with his offensive output, and he's not a guy that really gets more than 12, 13 shots a game. Decent defensively, decent size, 6'4", 6'5", you know, a decent athlete also.
I mean, he's a very good defender. He's actually, you know, coming onto the Lakers, he may be their best perimeter guard defender at this point in time.
He probably is going into the season. But I think one issue for Detroit and what Van Gundy would probably say is he was probably looking for him to improve. Like last year, his points went down a little bit. His three-point percentage was around 35%, which isn't bad. But his field goal percentage was under 40%. It was 39.
Oh, that's what I was looking at the wrong category, so I apologize. I was wrong. I was saying that he was around 40 for three. That's not true. He's around 33 for three. His field goal percentage is around 40. And a guy taking that many shots needs to shoot it a little bit better.
Yeah, I think last year they kind of expected him to take a bigger jump offensively. Detroit kind of last year was a whole letdown, so I don't know how much that says. Maybe it'll help him getting out of Detroit. My, like, scouting report on him is he's somebody who's a spot-up shooter, and he can get hot. Like you guys mentioned, he's streaky. His ball-handling skills, he needs to improve. His ability to drive to the rim, he needs to improve. He just needs to expand his offensive game and kind of develop that aspect. Defensively, he definitely brings effort and toughness, and that's something you always want. But he still needs to be more consistent defensively as well. But as I mentioned before, Detroit was kind of a shit show last year. You know, things just – nothing went right in Detroit. They had a ton of terrible losses. Andre Drummond, Reggie Jackson didn't do great. So maybe coming to L.A. will help him. Pairing him with Lonzo, I think, is a good fit in the sense that KCP doesn't want the ball in his hands a lot. He's going to play defense where Lonzo wants the ball in his hands a lot, and he's not going to play great defense. So I think that's a good pairing.
Yeah, he's definitely the off-ball guard that can slide in next to a Lonzo ball fairly easily. I mean,
he's also he's also played with a point guard that's, you know, Reggie Jackson is an offensive point guard. So maybe like Nick said, pairing him next to somebody that's looking to pass a little bit more could help him and put him in some better situations offensively.
No, I agree. That's where I was just going to take that point. Just the fact that, you know, he's playing with a different style of point guard. I mean, I know even last year, you know, Ish Smith got a lot of playing time with Detroit, but, you know, he's not a very gifted point guard, as we know from his time in Philly. A decent playmaker, not a very good offensively scoring point guard. And then Reggie Jackson, obviously, he had his struggles where he fell out of the starting lineup at times. And I think he was benched the end of the season, right? Or he was shut down.
He was bench for stretches too during the season. The fourth quarter, right, they would go with Ish Smith just because Reggie Jackson was like, he had some real terrible games. Like, I'm not even trying to throw shade at him because he had the knee tendonitis, so that obviously messed him up. But some of those stat lines were terrible.
Yeah, and like we've been saying about Lonzo, you know, the one thing that none of us, I think, can say is we all think Lonzo is going to be a very good playmaker. And a guy like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, a guy who's a spot-up shooter, playing alongside a playmaking point guard, you know, if Lonzo does a driving kick, you know, Pope's only job is to hit that spot up three. I wouldn't be surprised if you saw Caldwell's Pope shooting percentage raised, you know, by 10 or 20% points here this next season.
If you're looking at Caldwell Pope in this offense, he's probably going to be a fourth or fifth option. You know, Lonzo's going to initiate things. Brooke is probably the second best offensive player. They'll probably want to get Ingram involved a lot, and Randall's going to want to do his thing in a contract year. So it's going to be a lot of spot-up threes for Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. But see what happens. Like you mentioned, Corey, one-year deal. You know, he could be a guy that they bring back and maybe they only land Paul George or they only land LeBron James. He could be another complimentary piece.
But he's also making this. He's also has his second highest salary behind Lopez on this team.
Yeah, but only a one-year deal, so it's kind of just like, you know, they
one
just
year, get – 1 year, 17.7?
They just gave him the 1 year to just give him the deal, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think he is worth $17 million, but because it's a 1 year, they don't really care because he fills in a roster spot, potential young piece for the future. It kind of checks all the marks for the Lakers. Same thing with the Lopez trade. You know, like, they have a player that's going to make them better right now, and they still have cap flexibility for next summer, which is very important.
And not that I think it's possible, but, you know, who knows? On a 1 year, $17 million deal, you know, if a team's contending, Caldwell Pope's fairly young too. A team could take a flyer and trade for him at a deadline too if the Lakers wanted to move him. You know, it's not outlandish to think that's possible if they think they can land a Paul George and a LeBron James next offseason.
We've seen crazier things happen. But let's talk departures. We'll start with D'Angelo Russell. Obviously, being the number two pick, I think, in 2015, you know, a lot of people expected D'Angelo to be a big-time player in this league. And it's not to say he did bad with the Lakers, because he averaged, I think, around 15 and close to 5 assists last season and around, like, 30 minutes and change. So it's not like he was terrible. But what are your thoughts on Lakers getting rid of D'Angelo?
They were wrong. This was a bad decision for the Lakers. I think D'Angelo Russell as a two guard alongside a playmaking point guard of Lonzo Ball would be extremely deadly. I think Russell is more of a two guard in a one guard body. We saw at times last year he can shoot, he can hit the three. He's not necessarily good at getting his teammates involved, but I think he'd be fairly good as a two guard. So I think the Lakers missed that opportunity to see them. I know Magic Johnson said he wanted leaders, and Russell wasn't a leader. We can talk about that probably for hours.
Expecting 20 and 21-year-olds to be leaders over, you know, 28-year-olds on the team and veteran players in the NBA. It's not really going to happen, but
it's silly. It's ridiculous. I mean, obviously Russell had that incident with Nick Young where he sent the Snapchat out of Nick Young talking about Iggy, or saying that he, you know, cheated on Iggy, like, in the open, which is obviously it's very childish.
Anytime you can get rid of Nick Young, it's a good thing. But
I'll say this real quick, not to cut you off, Harris. It's kind of funny that everybody, like, I'm not trying to defend D'Angelo Russell and say what he did is wrong, because I'm not saying it is, but I think it's funny that everybody hates D'Angelo Russell so much for that situation when what he did is talk about Nick Young cheating on his girlfriend.
Well, yeah.
Like, that is not the right thing to do.
Yeah, well, obviously it's not the right thing to do. It's also not the right thing to do to let everybody know what you guys were talking about. And obviously not defending what he did, but D'Angelo Russell doesn't need to be, you know, throwing that on the internet.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying he should, but I'm just saying.
But anyway, they just got the reset button. He was the two pick in 2015. Lonzo Ball, two pick 2017, going with it, you know, in a different direction. And I think if the Lakers were able to do that draft differently, they would obviously, I would think we could all agree, they'd probably take Porzingis at the two slot, no?
Yeah, they probably might take Porzingis at the two spot, or, you know, some people might take Jokic, but.
Yeah, but he could do it over, though. They would not take D'Angelo Russell.
I still think trading Russell for Brook Lopez in the 27th pick in a Moskov salary dump is not the best thing you want to do for a second overall pick from 2 years ago. Not saying D'Angelo lit up the league, but I dropped a stat on the Nets podcast. You know, he was like one of six players to produce the way he did in his first two seasons. The other guys were like Steph Curry, Larry Bird, James Harden, and some other big name players. So I just think
his demeanor, I know you're going to, you know, try to be high on him, but, you know, try to, you know, pull for him, obviously, on your squad this year. But I just think from a demeanor standpoint, I'm not looking like from statistics, but on a demeanor standpoint, I think leadership wise, and you know, getting people involved and being the main you know, ball distributor and point guard, I think they were right to reset. I don't know if it was the right move to do it in the way they did, in the fashion they did it, but I think they had every right to reset it and, you know, and have an opportunity to go in a different direction.
I mean, it's 2 years in on a second overall pick and you're ready to just trade him away. And not saying he hasn't showed any flashes. Maybe his demeanor is not the greatest, but he's still a young kid. Like, you know, at 20 or 21 years old, you're not an adult yet. A lot of us do, like Corey and I mentioned this before, a lot of us do dumb things when we're young. So I wouldn't be ready to pull the plug on a young player unless I was getting good value for him. And it's
they might know some things that we don't know also. I mean, he's another guy with, you know, right around 40% from the field, 35 from three. You know, 75 from the line. You know, he's. I don't know. He's missed a little time last year. they might know some things we don't know.
I mean, we saw Russell hit big time shots.
He lit up the Cavs one game and he dropped 40. Like, I don't think there was enough for you to be like, oh, I really don't want him on my team, but and try to like force him out in a trade. I would at least sit on him at least to get a better trade. Not saying Brooke Lopez is a bad player, but he's an expiring contract and you got the 27th pick. You got to get rid of Mozgov, but you at the price of, you know, a top five pick 2 years in. It's not like we've seen him play for 3 or 4 years. His contract was about to expire. We don't know what D'Angelo Russell is at this point. I'm not saying he's going to be the next greatest thing in the NBA. He could be terrible. But like, we don't know what he's going to be.
Maybe they might be turned off by five assists and three free throw attempts a game. Because if you're going to be an offensive-minded guy, you maybe try to get to the line a little bit more, maybe be more aggressive, be a better finisher. Like you said, 2 years, they might be a lot higher. They're probably just a lot higher on ball and want to reset. And they're thinking, okay, I could get a big-time offensive player at the center position, something that this team lacks.
I mean, the one thing I can't say is, you know, at a guy who's, you know, 20 to 21 years old, he never was against taking the big time shots. You know, I can always remember people criticizing LeBron James on not taking the big time game winning shots. D'Angelo Russell in his first two seasons, he wanted to take those game winning shots. And numerous times.
I think we just did something that I never thought anybody would ever do.
Let's compare Lonzo or compare Russell to LeBron.
I think you should apologize to LeBron.
I mean, I'm just saying we criticized LeBron.
He didn't compare him to LeBron. He just compared him to what critics said about LeBron.
Right. Thank you.
Everybody wants to be critical of the best player, you know, that we have.
Hey, I didn't say he wasn't the best player. I was just comparing a critic's take on how they
Russell was ballsy. He had cojones, you know,
a little Mamba mentality, if you will. He didn't shed away from the big moment though.
It's hard for me to say. Mamba was a killer. This guy's not a killer.
That's true. He's not a killer. But he doesn't shed away from those big time shots.
I would be interested to see how he develops next to my guy Jeremy Lin. I'm interested to see what happens in Brooklyn. That's something I never thought I'd say either.
I mean, I didn't expect to say it. I didn't expect the Nets to get, you know, maybe one of the top 25 young players under 22 in the league, you know, with the potential to be an all-star and for really trading Brooke Lopez on an expiring deal and a late first-round pick.
I don't think he's going to be an all-star until, if he is at all, until his, like, fifth year in the league.
Oh, that's okay.
He'll be 23 by his fifth year in the NBA. So I'm okay.
Yeah, so that's fine. That's no big deal. Yeah. I think for the Lakers, the big plus from this though would be getting rid of Mozgov and his contract.
Yeah.
You know, obviously sucks getting rid of D'Angelo Russell, but departing with Mozgov and the contract, Mozgov just was not good for the Lakers last year. He was not healthy. He didn't do what they expected him to do. He didn't play a ton of minutes, so that was just a complete letdown.
Yeah, I still want to know what their thought process was when they offered him that initial contract and signed him to the first deal of free agency, of why they thought 4 years, $64 million. Was it 64 or $74 million?
I think it was 70 right. Something.
Even better.
The Russian mafia probably like had the Lakers hostage or something.
Wait a second. Mozgov's a net?
Yeah, Mozgov's a net.
Yeah. Very surprising.
But, I mean, that's a price I'd be willing to pay to pick up a player like D'Angelo Russell, especially when you're in a rebuilding situation and you don't have a top-five pick.
You're a little higher than Russell. I think you guys are both higher on Russell than I am.
What's not to like about a 20-year-old who went from 13 points per game with Kobe ball-hogging to them the first year without Kobe, his true rookie season averaging 15-4, almost 5?
I don't know, just from a demeanor. He also didn't light it. Don't act like he lit it up offensively. He shot 40%. He shot
40%, 35 from three. He had an efficient field goal percentage of 48.
So 35 from three is not terrible. I agree with that, but
his true shooting percentage raised by almost 10 points.
However,
his win share went up slightly. I mean,
if you give me the opportunity to go with the end. What I've seen of 2 years of Russell to what I think Ball's going to be in the NBA, I'm going with Ball's every day of the week and twice on Sundays.
I mean, they're different types of players. So, like Corey said, I might actually think D'Angelo Russell is better suited as a two guard and more of a scoring perspective. I think Lonzo will always be the better playmaker and want to get his teammates involved, but I don't think that, you know, they're the same type of guy. I also think Russell's a really good passer. You know, it's not like the Lakers' offense was amazing and there's a ton of guys out there ready to get shots up and everybody was moving in a smooth system. We'll have a better idea about D'Angelo Russell this year in Brooklyn and next year in Brooklyn. After that, you know, 4 years in the league, we can make an assumption about a player. 2 years in a Lakers system, like Corey mentioned, 1 year with Kobe and 1 year with a terrible team, it's going to be rough to kind of gauge where his talent's at.
2 years, and what I know most about him is for being, you know, selling out one of his teammates. That's killing me.
Yeah, but that's just the media storyline. That's not watching his game.
I don't care. Listen, I understand what you're saying. Being in the Lakers system, there's a lot of time to be told. I could be wrong on this. I would always go back and admit when I'm wrong, and I'm not trying to kill the kid. He's a decent offensive talent, but I'm just not that high on him. And I think it was okay for them to hit the reset button, and they added one of your guys, Nick. They added one of your one of your favorite players.
Yeah, but it's a guy they don't plan on keeping. He's not a long-term option. You know, they're going to probably get rid of Brooke this year and pick up Paul George and whoever else can sign a free agency. So
tampering,
it's just kind of like
tampering.
Yeah, but tampering. We know what's going to happen. But other than that,
no, that Thunder team's going to be good. I'm telling you right now, George and Westbrook together. I know we're not going to talk about that right now, but I like it a lot.
But enough about Harris hating on D'Angelo Russell.
No, we'll move
on.
Say that.
Thomas Robinson left the Lakers. Meta World Peace, Nick Young, David Nevada, and Tariq Black. Out of these guys, who do you think is going to be the most missed?
I guess the most missed guy is going to be man, that's a tough one because do they really miss any of these guys?
No.
I really like Thomas Robinson, though.
I'm not high on Thomas Robinson.
You're not? He's a high-energy workhorse, I think.
He can't hit a layup. That's his problem.
Yeah, he's not very good around the basket.
If he could hit a layup, he'd be a really good player. Like you said, he's high-energy, gets a ton of rebounds. You know, he's willing to put effort in. He's got to improve and be, you know, more consistent. And be able, if he could finish around the rim, he would have a nice role in the NBA, but it's about him being consistent and being that guy all the time.
So you're asking who are they going to miss the most?
Yeah, I'm saying, are they going to miss any of these guys? Thomas Robinson, Meta World Peace, Nick Young, Tariq Black, David Nwaba. You know, he was a D-League guy they picked up later in the year.
No, I don't know. I think that's a really hard question to answer.
I think maybe Meta World Peace, just for leadership.
Because Meta World Peace was running meditation practices. And, you know, he was talking about the off the court and the psychology of basketball. I think they could miss his leadership and his age and his experience in this league. But other than that, I can't give you an answer.
Nick Young was pretty solid in terms of scoring points. Obviously, we don't know about, like, his leadership in his terms of, you know, passing the ball. But I think, nah, they won't really miss it. It just makes more sense to open those spots up for young guys and kind of continue the rebuild. But let's talk starters. Who's going to be the Lakers starters next season?
Oh, I like this. Okay. So my starting five
Lonzo.
Is going to be – come on, Harris. Obviously Lonzo. Lonzo Ball, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Brandon Ingram, Julius Randle, and Brooke Lopez.
I honestly don't think it could be any other starting lineup.
Yeah. I would be shocked.
If they started Luol Deng?
No.
Nice. He played himself onto the bench last year.
Unless he did some crazy stuff in the offseason.
He's making $17 million.
But you'd rather give those minutes to Ingram and let him develop with your new point guard.
I'm just trying to throw out different possibilities. But
I really don't think, unless there's an injury or something, that there's any possibility of anyone else starting.
Jordan Clarkson starting at the one, and they're bringing Alonzo Ball off the bench.
No way.
No, Magic is in love with that. But actually, mention Magic before we talk breakout guys. Obviously, they brought in Magic as their president of basketball operations and Rob Pelinka as their new GM. What are your thoughts on that, and do you think that's going to help steady the Lakers and put them on a path of success?
Do I think Magic will help them become successful?
And Rob Pelinka.
I'm not sure about Rob Pelinka. I mean, I, I'm 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 interested to see what a GM can bring to a front office of a team. Obviously, we know he has connections within players.
He's a
former super
agent, pretty much.
Right. He represented Kobe Bryant, I believe, was one of his players as well. It's interesting to see the dynamic between the two. I definitely think Magic Johnson will have a significant impact because, I mean, we're talking about one of the top three point guards of all time, arguably the best point guard of all time, and a Laker. We're talking about a Laker, a guy who will want to see the Lakers be successful. So I definitely like having him in the front office.
Nick, remember when I used to talk about like how many national TV games a team will have? Last year. This team is going to have 35 nationally televised games. I don't know if I've ever seen that from a team that has been that'll probably be this low in the standings. I mean, there are stretches where they'll play on ESPN and NBA TV like the entire week.
Well, last year they even had a good amount of games, and they were pretty bad, especially midseason.
Because it's the Lakers, but this ball thing, I think, maybe is even more of an impact because you know he's going to be at some of the games and just – he's going to get a lot of TV time. They have a TV series. They're opening up on TNT on opening night on the 19th on a Thursday. And it's going to be a lot of that. And it's just unbelievable what kind of attention this team's going to get.
Yeah. It's also, like you mentioned, the Lakers hype. Lonzo and LeVar are going to help that. They do have some fun pieces. Like Brook Lopez, like we mentioned, still a fun player to watch. Brandon Ingram could be a guy that steps up this year and has a big year. So –
I don't know about
Magic and Rob Pelinka, I think both those guys, in terms of relationships, I don't think people understand the value of relationships in the NBA. Magic is well-liked by a lot of NBA players, active NBA players. We know what Paul George thinks about him. Sorry, Corey. And Rob Pelinka obviously has tons of connections around the league with NBA players, being a former agent and working with Kobe Bryant, one of the best players ever. So I think, you know, it's going to be a great thing for the Lakers, and we're going to see how effective those relationships are next offseason. But talking breakout guys, who is your breakout starter for the Lakers next year?
Breakout starter, I'm going to surprise you guys. I'm not picking Lonzo. I'm going to pick Brandon Ingram. I think a second year into the NBA, I think he'll be more adjusted to the game speed. I think having a actual playmaking point guard in Lonzo Ball will significantly help him. I think having Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, a guy who's been in the league for a couple of years, alongside of him as a spot-up shooter will help. I think Julius Randle gets better as well. I think Brook Lopez brings in the veteran leadership the team hasn't had offensively. I think Brandon Ingram is really – he's really set, I think, to have his best year, obviously, to date in the NBA.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go with Ball. I mean, I just think it's gonna rejuvenate them a little bit. It's a shot in the arm. An energy standpoint, I've watched all of the other players and some of the veteran players play in this league, and Lonzo Ball might have the highest ceiling of anybody on this roster. And you know, like I said, he put on 12-15 extra games on national TV. Everyone's gonna be paying attention. There's a lot of pressure, but at the same time, like we mentioned before, the dad might have, you know, be able to take a little bit of that from him. But I think with the keys to the offense and his the up-temponess of this offense, him the razzle-dazzle of his game, I think he'll be the breakout guy here.
For me, I think Lonzo is going to probably do is what I expect him to do and what people expect him to do. He's going to come in and do a solid job in his rookie year. I don't think he's going to be as crazy because I think there'll be some adjustment period. But I'm not hating on him long-term because I think he'll be a great player in the league. I think the first year he'll need to adjust a little bit. I'm actually going to agree with Corey. Brandon Ingram has impressed me. What I saw from him in summer league that little bit, and the Lakers shut him down. Like, he could really, like we saw last year, you know, he was struggling with the NBA size, the NBA speed. But at Duke, he showed the flashes of potential that he does have in that frame and that body to really be an offensive player that can be tough to defend that small forward position.
I mean, he drew a lot of comparisons coming out of college to Kevin Durant. I mean, I think that's obviously the best case scenario for a guy.
Yeah, like I didn't want to say it.
Yeah, but I mean,
I think, obviously,
when you compare somebody to Kevin Durant, like, there's not going to be another Kevin Durant, I don't believe. I mean, certain guys you can't really duplicate. But do I think he can be, you know, a 20-7 or 4 type of guy at night? Yeah, for sure. Why couldn't a guy like Brandon Ingram, he put some size, score 20 points per game? I think there is, though, like you said, Nick, you know, piggybacking off what you just said, there's a lot of raw potential in Ingram. I mean, we're talking about a guy who was 19 years old last year. I mean, this is another guy just like a lot of this team. This is a 20-year-old young raw talent player who, in the new style of college kids, he came out probably earlier than he should have because it's 1 year and you got to go and get your money. This is a guy who's still got a lot of years of development ahead of him, and we really won't know what he'll be for another 2-3 years.
And also, I think I'm a lot higher on Ingram than I was of Russell. His nickname is Tiny Dog. I don't know if you guys knew that. But
that's a good nickname.
Yeah, I think that 6'9", 190, you know, good length, needs to shoot it a little bit better, probably will improve. But his ceiling has a lot to do with how quickly I think the Lakers will become relevant again. If he could become what you guys are saying, this team could maybe fight for that relevance at the bottom of the West in a couple of years. It's possible.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the Lakers are hoping. They're hoping that all these guys, you know, Lonzo, Brandon Ingram, Julius Randle, Larry Nance Jr., Jordan Clarkson, Josh Hart, even Kyle Kuzma, that all these guys make progress this year, and it looks a little better going in the next offseason. But talking about that, who's your breakout bench guy this year?
Breakout bench guy. I got to go with the man, the legend, Jordan Clarkson.
Yeah. Oh, he took it right out of my mouth, man.
You know, we did good. No one really, you know, you picked Lonzo for the last guy, so we didn't have everyone on the same page. But I'm going to roll with Harris. I know Harris. I know you're picking Jordan Clarkson.
Well, that or Josh I like Hart. That or Josh Hart. That or Josh
Hart. Ooh, Josh Hart is a good one. I like Jordan Clarkson. I think next to Russell, he kind of was stunted slightly. But, you know, we're talking about a very athletic guard. He can hit the three. I don't know. When I play 2K, he's one of the guys in my GM mode that I always go after because I like the youth of him.
What about you, Harris? Who's your breakout bench guy?
Let me go with the rookie Josh Hart because I don't want to agree with Corey on anything. Just kidding. Just kidding, Corey. Yeah, you know what? I think he's going to be in a nice little role, and they're going to be using obviously Lonzo with the point guard position, but there's a lot of uncertainty with the ball handlers and in the point guard position. And I'm hoping that Josh Hart has a solid rookie season because I like that program and I like Villanova. I used to go to Villanova basketball camp as a kid. Met Jay Wright a couple times. Great guy. And so I have a little Villanova bias here. So I will. I'm going to lean towards Josh Hart.
I'm going to go with Larry Nance Jr.
Wow, all different. I like it.
I mean, Larry Nance Jr., obviously we know he's an athletic
freak. Even after that dunk over his
mouth. I'm not biased. I'm not biased. You know, he plays hard. He's one guy who's come out this offseason said the Lakers are going to be better defensively, and he's one guy who can kind of provide that spark off the bench. You know, being an athletic player, having the athleticism and toughness, he can kind of give the Lakers a little push off the bench. We know what he can do, you know, around the rim, throwing down dunks, dunking on anybody in the league, seven-footers or not. And if he can just kind of expand his offensive game, he can be that nice spark plug for the Lakers off the bench and be somebody who actually plays defense on this team.
It's crazy that there's so much. I mean, obviously we talked about it before. There's so much young talent on this Lakers team that there's, you know, two or three guys that we could all pick for breakout players.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of young – like, we didn't really talk that much about Julius Randle, but this is a big year for him. He's going in the contract year just like Jordan Clarkson. So both those guys could easily have big seasons.
He's probably, like, the best rebounder on the team too, right?
Yeah, probably in starter-wise, I think he'll be the best starter that's rebounding. And, you know, he's going to be a little bit of toughness. He's going to give you a little bit of that edge. If he can pick it up defensively, that'd be something they like to see. He can improve, you know, passing the ball, also shooting that three-point ball. They'd probably be happy about that too. Yeah, there's a lot of room for improvement, and it's not impossible improvement. So that's something, like, positive you could look at it as a Lakers fan.
He rebounded a lot last year. Like, he almost had 7 defensive rebounds a game. Like, that's not a small task.
Yeah, and he's not he's, you know, a strong dude, but he's not the tallest and lankiest dude. So I think that's also important. But before we talk about win prediction, I guess let's talk about next year's offseason. We have to touch on it. We haven't really touched on next year's offseason for any team, but the Lakers, obviously, with this type of hype and the potential of possibly signing a Paul George and LeBron James, like, I think we could all agree that there's a good chance that Paul George signs with the Lakers unless the Thunder have an extremely great season. But do you guys really believe LeBron would sign with the Lakers next offseason?
No. I don't see it. I'm sorry. I think for some reason, it's only the Lakers, but every year, it doesn't matter who the big-time free agent is, for some reason, I got to see a Photoshop picture of this player in a Lakers jersey. Like, it goes without saying that I've seen Paul George, Chris Paul, LeBron James, Russell Westbrook, all these – Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins, John Wall, all these guys.
Blake Griffin, Kevin Love.
Yeah, Laker jerseys. Like, everybody
– Carmelo Anthony. Oh,
yeah.
Sorry, man, sorry. Oh, man, it's crazy. No, you're right.
You guys were talking about All-Stars, sorry.
Oh, wow.
You are.
Yeah, I'm kidding. Carmelo's an All-Star. I'm just fresh.
There's something in the water. I think it's outlandish. I mean, obviously we know that the report came out, his wife wants to be out in LA. We know that LeBron has a lot of businesses, and him going out into LA is obviously a possibility. I just don't see it. I don't see a guy leaving Cleveland to go to a team that's still rebuilding when he's in the final 3 to 4 years of his career.
But after this offseason, are you ready to count anything out?
No, I mean, anything's possible, but I still don't see LeBron going to a team that's not ready to win a championship for his final years.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be the case. I think they're going to add some free agents. Like you said, Paul George might be a possibility because of, and all that tampering stuff and all that, mention it one more time. But
Lakers got a $500,000 fine, just to throw it out there.
It's nothing. Nothing.
Magic Johnson actually probably made money somehow on that. Magic Johnson, 500 grand to Magic Johnson is honestly like 25 cents to the three of us. So it's not, it's a slap on the wrist. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, I'm agreeing with you guys.
It's a high five. It's not even a slap on the wrist. It's a high five.
Yeah, I mean, the Lakers can't be that mad about it. It's just a fine, and they're still going to be able to sign Paul George. But if LeBron's best interest is winning another championship, he will not sign with the Lakers. If he's most interested in making his family happy and working in Hollywood and, elevating his career in different ways, then maybe he'll sign with the Lakers. But if his best interest is trying to win another championship, he will not sign with the Lakers.
No, or if he even wants to play with the Banana Boat, which we all know is a strong possibility.
He might play.
Yeah, I would probably put Houston ahead of the Lakers. Yeah. I talked with Jonathan Abraham. He's a big LeBron guy, and I asked him his opinion on it. And we were talking about it. We thought maybe even the Spurs. Like, that's a real possibility. If he wants Cleveland and win, that would probably be a great situation. And Kawhi would probably be the best player other than the guys in Houston that he could play with.
What if he went to the Pelicans and played with the two big guys?
I don't think that would work. LeBron, I don't know. Like, if you're playing the Warriors, you probably want to play LeBron at the four.
The Cavs did that and played Love at the five?
At some points they did. They even played LeBron sometimes at the center.
I saw him at the five a few times last final.
To match up with the Warriors, like, in my brain, this is how, like, I rank everybody in the NBA and how everybody, like, competes. It's like, how do they compete against the Warriors? Can they beat the Warriors? That's, like, my number one question when anybody arises, is this team good? Like, how do they match up with Golden State? Because at the end of the day, that's all that really matters right now.
Right.
But enough about the Warriors and LeBron, I guess. Let's actually get back to the Lakers. Let's talk win predictions. Best case scenario for LA.
Best case scenario. It's funny. I feel like I have to give the same answers to all these teams, but we're in this little.
We're in the bottom 10 still.
Yeah. I'm gonna say best case scenario is right around 32 to 33 wins.
I was gonna say 32 and 50.
Yeah. That honestly sounds about right for me as well. Low 30 range, and that's everything works out. And that's not even saying the Lakers are terrible. It's just that the Western Conference is super stacked. We mentioned teams like Golden State, Houston, San Antonio, OKC, Minnesota. There's going to be a ton of forces in the West that you have to deal with on a nightly basis.
The Pelicans will probably even get them a couple of times.
Yeah, I mean, the Pelicans, teams like the Blazers with
Portland,
Dean Lillard.
Yeah,
there's plenty of teams in the West. Obviously, I'm not naming every Western Conference team, but even the bad Western Conference teams have some talent. Like we talked about Phoenix the other day, they're still a talented squad. We don't expect them to win a ton of games, but it's not like the Lakers are full of veterans that are going out for the playoffs.
Yep.
But worst case scenario for LA?
Worst case scenario, which is the Celtics' best case scenario, is that the Lakers win right around, 24 games again, 25 games, and they sit near the bottom of the NBA, and they end up getting a lottery draft pick that benefits the Celtics.
What about you, Harris?
I think they're going to hover around. I don't think it's going to go too much lower than 26, because I think they're improved from last year. So worst case, best case, I think this is one of those teams that's going to hover, between 28, 29 wins in a bad situation and 32, 33, maybe even 34 in a really good situation. So I would say 27, 28 wins in a bad situation.
Yeah, I'd say worst case scenario. And just to clarify on the pick situation, the Lakers pick will go to Boston if it's 1 or 6 through 30. If it's picks 2 through 5, it'll stay with Philadelphia, and then the Celtics will get another pick. But that's for another day. Just want to throw that out there. Worst case for me is probably low 20s. Maybe somebody gets hurt. Lonzo doesn't really develop the way they want him to develop in his first year. There's some struggles for all the guys just because three-point shooting could be a huge issue for this team. I mean, if you're looking at the starting lineup, their two best three-point shooters are probably Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Brook Lopez, and both those guys shoot around 35-34%.
Not just three-point shooting, Nick. I mean,
and defense.
That and rebounding. I mean, we talked about it before. I mean, their best rebounder now is Julius Randle, and their second-best rebounder is who? Brook Lopez? That could be another issue this Lakers team sees.
That's an area that I would like to see Brandon Ingram step up because he's long, lanky, and athletic. Brook's not really a tenacious rebounder, obviously, but he will box out his guys. And, if the other guys step up in terms of rebounding, I wouldn't be surprised if Lonzo averages a decent amount. He just seems like a player that would like to grab the rebound and get the fast break started right away.
Like those realistic kid rebounds?
Exactly. No, I think the kid comparison you made was, good before. The vision is there. But I also will make the point that Kid played in a time in the NBA where three-point shooting wasn't as valuable. It wasn't the same as what it is now. So I think that's going to be the thing for Lonzo is that three-point shooting.
And if I recall, Kid had more size, correct?
He's a bigger dude.
He was definitely a stronger – I mean, I know he wasn't as tall as Lonzo, but he definitely had more of a size.
Well, he put on more weight at, the end of his career. He wasn't, that strong, though. Jason Kidd wasn't,
I feel like he was in shape, though. I feel like he was the guy who was at the gym.
But his style of play – was never really he was getting into the paint. Get into the paint, but he didn't body through people like a Westbrook would in the paint. It's not his style. He was more of the perimeter to perimeter, three-point guy, and he would make a lot of plays and get into the teeth of the defense, but not necessarily go all the way and finish a ton.
I think he got into the paint. Obviously, I watched a lot of Jason Kidd. It was not necessarily about his size and stuff, but Harris mentioned, it was not a sneakiness, but he was just super smart and be able to attack the defense at different angles. But I think he came in to the NBA at a better size than Lonzo is. I don't think Lonzo can put on size. Like I mentioned, I think size is probably one of the easiest things for NBA players to get on. You're a millionaire. You can get whatever diet you want. You can get whatever supplements you want. It's going to be a lot easier than you and I trying to weight loss.
Though, just to look at Jason Kidd for a second, because maybe the ball will draw those comparisons. Jason Kidd, for a season, there were seasons where he was shooting 36, 38% from the field, 40% from the field. So, and he was averaging 11 shots a game. So
they were calling him Ace and Kid when he, that was a real thing for him. But the funny thing is, after, in New Jersey, he developed his 3-point shot. And then after that, he was a really good 3-point shooter. So it's something you definitely can work on with work.
Definitely.
But realistic predictions for the Lakers this year, what do you think they're actually going to win? How many games?
I'm going to say 28 games is the realistic win total for this Lakers team.
Me? 30.
Yeah, you?
30.
I'll sit right in the middle at 29.
28.
I like it.
28, 29, and 30, and Lonzo leads them to 41 and the eighth seed in the playoffs. I'm going to root for this team, though. I'm a Luke Walton fan, actually.
I mean, I don't see any situation where they make the playoffs. I do see a situation that's realistic for them to win in that 30 range of games. But I don't think that they're better than the top 8 Western Conference teams. There's just so many teams in the West that are just talented.
Yeah, it's going to be ridiculously hard, but it would be fun, though.
I just think the three-point shooting and Laker fans will probably eat me alive. And the defense and, like Corey mentioned, the rebounding is going to be an issue. And not being able to shoot the three-point – it's interesting that they don't have any, like, really great three-point shooters. And Luke Walton obviously wants a system that has great three-point shooters coming from Golden State.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. Like I said, ESPN, NBA TV, even if you don't have the league pass, you'll be able to see almost half the Laker games.
Yeah, and we know Twitter is all about – you know, LaVar, Lonzo, LaMelo, all ball. That gets us to our next point.
They're the Kardashians of the NBA.
Yeah, they just dropped the reality TV show. I think the first episode is up. I haven't watched it yet. I'll probably take a glance just to see what it's like. I think it'll probably be pretty funny. Like I said, I give LaVar a lot of props. It's easy to hate on him, but he's just playing a role. You know what he's doing. Like, I think Magic asked him, you know, this got leaked. Like, are you just playing a role? And he was like, yeah, I am. I'm just doing this like it's a marketing ploy.
Also, he did say he could beat Michael, which was just ridiculous.
Yeah. Like, anybody who has never played in the NBA is never going to beat Michael Jordan one-on-one. Like, just saying that, no one's going to believe you anyways. It's not like he was a dominant college player or anything like that. I mean, it'd be mad funny if LaVar Ball played in the Big Three, but that's for another year.
that would be actually pretty funny.
He had a four-point contest with Ice Cube, and Ice Cube won. But the truth, the emoji for the Lakers is going to be a basketball because this season is all ball. About Lonzo. It's all about LaVar. If Lonzo's great, the Lakers will have a better season than we expect. If Lonzo's terrible, though, it won't be as good as we expect. So it's all ball.
I like that. The only other one I was thinking of was the emoji with the guy's hand, like, to the side being sassy. the sassy one. I picked that one only because I think, like, this team could be one of those teams if they actually hit a groove offensively, which we've seen because they've gave the Lakers a tough time the last couple of years with their fast-paced tempo. The Lakers. I said the Lakers. At least give the Warriors a tough time because we know Luke Walton obviously was an assistant coach over there, and we just know that the tempo the Lakers are trying to push. I just think this could be a season where they actually turn it as a surprise, and it's kind of like that, LaVar Ball could be like, I told you guys we were going to be an 8 seed, or I told you we were going to make the playoffs type of season. I mean, I do think, you know, if guys develop correctly and Lonzo Ball becomes that playmaking point guard we know he was in college and could be in the NBA, that this Lakers team could, like Harris mentioned earlier, could possibly slip into that 8 seed.
I'll be rooting for it. I also think the emoji could be had something to do with the law, maybe. Maybe put like a police officer over there or something like that. But it is all ball. It is all going to be about that family. I call them the Kardashians of the NBA. It's something like I've never seen before. And having that father-son relationship and having a kid that's 19 with this much responsibility – going to take them 15, 20, 25 games, but Faye will be taking them in DraftKings in mid-December.
Yeah, I'll probably take some of their guys because they will play at a high pace and they'll definitely have stuff. But I don't see any scenario, even of playoffs. Just when you look at the Western Conference, like you have San Antonio, Houston. Like this is just the teams from last year that made the playoffs. Clippers, Utah, OKC, Memphis, Portland. Then you have teams like Denver who got better this year, teams like New Orleans who got better this year, teams like Minnesota who got better this year. I think it's just going to be too crazy for the Lakers to really – like, if I'm a Lakers fan, like, I'm not worried about the hype about winning games. I'm more worried about this point about the development of the players and what I see with Lonzo, what I see with Randle, what I see with Ingram, what I see with those guys and the decisions they have to make next summer. Like I mentioned, they have guys on contract years. They have the big hype of the offseason with – Paul George and LeBron James. So it's going to be an interesting season. It's going to be a ton of drama for the Lakers all year. You know, the Lakers are going to be in the headlines a lot, but league pass wise, what do you rank the Lakers 1 through 10?
I'm giving out another high ranking. You know, it's a strange world.
You can't watch every game, Corey.
Hey, I can do my damnedest to try though.
Yeah, I know you will try though.
I'm sure that people in my life would not be happy if I spent all my time watching basketball games, but I'll give it my damnedest.
I do it anyways. I don't care.
Right. At that point, it's YOLO, right? We got to bring it back 2012.
I watch a lot of the fourth quarters, sometimes.
Hey, the 15-minute game recaps on League Pass, let me tell you, you get the gist. Great. You get the gist.
Yeah.
I'm going to stay 5.5, leaning towards 6. I think because, of, like we said, the youth of this team, they're definitely one of the top five NBA cores, I think, in the NBA currently. Against, you know, the Philadelphia 76ers and the Minnesota Timberwolves and even the Phoenix Suns. I think this team can be fast. I think they can be fun. I think we could see Lonzo Ball do some things in the NBA that we haven't seen in a few years. I'm definitely intrigued with what the Lakers could be.
Listen, I'm going to go higher than that just because – this is one of those storylines, and I've seen the Spurs, like, let me see for an example, like a team like San Antonio, right? Kawhi Leonard, Greg Popovich. I've seen that play and that dance 100 times. I know the IQ in me, the basketball IQ in me, and the person that knows respectable basketball will say, you got to watch San Antonio, you got to watch all these better teams, Boston, all these other top 10 teams. But this is one of those stories that's it's special and it's rare. And I'm going to say 7.5, and I will be staying
by far our highest ranking so far.
Really?
I mean, other than our personal ones, obviously, for the Pacers and Nets, me and Corey and I both put 10 for 10. But right. In terms of, you know, actual teams that, you know, we're not fans of, that 7.5 is by far. Corey, I think, just gave out the highest one at 5.5 right now. Then you just
because all the teams are poor. But this is like a really good story, though, in my opinion. And I'd much rather watch them than like the Kings, Pistons, Mavs, Sixers, maybe, I don't know. But I don't know. I put the Lakers high, and I go to bed at 1 o'clock every night anyway, so it doesn't really matter to me.
I'll probably go with a 5 or a 6 here. Okay. Just like, because you mentioned it, there's like the off the court drama that makes it a little bit more enticing. Also, there's a lot of young pieces, and I love my guy Brooke, so I'll catch extra games just to see, you know, him put up some threes. So, I mean, I can definitely see. And the Lakers are just the Lakers. You know, like, No matter if you hate them or love them, they're always a team that you're going to kind of pay attention to because you're used to them being so dominant in the NBA. And, you know, everybody knows who the Lakers are. So,
there's a lot of factors here for me. Like I told you, with Josh Hart, Magic, Luke Walton's a guy I really like.
Obviously, Lonzo, LeVar.
Lonzo, LeVar. And I'm a fan of, as you, like you said, Clarkson. Randall and Ingram could be a nice piece too, and like you
and
said,
celebrities at the game.
Yeah, exactly. No, there's a lot going on here, and I think they're improved from last year.
All right, so you would watch the Lakers over what TV show that you like?
Nick, this is gonna kill you. Oh, Parks and Recreation.
Terrible, Corey. Terrible. I'm gonna return the favor then.
Did I blast Game of Thrones in the last one or no?
You can try to blast Game of Thrones.
Yeah, you're going to fail off on looking.
I mean, everybody who actually likes Game of Thrones will know that you're just not a fan.
No, I know. I'm just kidding. I won't say that.
But yeah,
my favorite TV show ever is actually coming back on October 1st, Curb Your Enthusiasm with Larry David. That's my personal favorite TV show.
Funny show.
To ever exist, in my opinion. But I don't want to see guys getting their neck slit. I want to see funny stuff from real life situations, not dragons. So I don't know what I'm going to say here. I'm going to think of a show that I'd rather watch. Maybe like Seinfeld, maybe. I'd rather watch the Lakers than Seinfeld because I'm getting tired of seeing those reruns.
Yeah, I never was a huge Seinfeld. It just seems like Seinfeld is always on, and it's on like multiple channels. Yeah. It's like, yeah, oh.
Listen, Larry David created that show too.
You guys are hating. That's a good show.
No. It is a good show, but what are we supposed to say? I mean, like,
so I'm going to – because Corey had to throw shade at Parks and Rec. I'm going to throw shade at a show that he likes, and I'm going to say I watched the Lakers over Archer.
Oh, man. Oh,
did you say Arthur the cartoon?
No, Archer.
The adult cartoon.
That was a good show back in the day. DW.
It's a good meme, too, with Arthur squeezing his fist.
Yes, it is. Damn.
When I had glasses back in the day, I drew comparisons to Arthur when I was a kid.
Can we wrap this up? I can't be on the same podcast. Nick, just do shit at Archer. I gotta leave.
Say, like, Archer's a good show, and I like it, and I'm only 3 seasons in. It's probably one of my favorite funny cartoons, but it's also I like the Lakers a little bit, too. Back in the day, I used to play with them in 2K sometimes. So,
when they had Kobe, though.
Yeah, when they had Kobe and Shaq, like, oh, I'm turning it way
Jesus
back.
Christ, that's unfair.
And shooting a ton of threes with Derek Fisher and shit.
I've said this a million times. I think Shaq is one of the top 3 most dominant basketball players I've ever seen. So
I mean, at point like Shaq, there was no player that was going to guard Shaq one on one really in the post at certain points in his career because he was just so physically imposing.
Yeah. Now we're talking about the Laker glory days, though, the three titles in a row, the three-peat.
Yeah, we might actually get a few more followers for just bringing this up and, you know, brighten up their day.
Yeah.
That's what we do. We come here to inspire.
Yeah, well, the they might not like us, Corey.
They're not going to win a title until I think we're in our 40s, I would say, something like that.
Yikes, that's a long time from now. Come on, man. Don't try to date me. Yikes.
I'm 25, so I'll throw it out there.
I don't really know how old everyone is.
I'm 25, so Laker fans, that's 15 years.
I'm actually 27, though, so that's 2 years closer.
They might hate it. They might love it. Who knows? But that wraps it up for today. Thank you guys for hopping on. As always, thanks everybody for listening. Make sure you review us on iTunes. Let us know if we did a great job or we suck.
That's pretty good. Adios, fellas.
Peace out.